You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me in the studio are Senator Dan Katowski, now the CEO of ChildServe, helping children at risk lead better lives. Also, Elliot Serrano joins us. He is our chief geek officer. And pertinent to this conversation, because we are welcoming a writer from Slate Magazine. Elliot used to write for Playboy Magazine, and recently Playboy made the decision to stop using nude photos of women, and in replace of that, they have enhanced their journalistic efforts. Journalistic? I believe that's...
Yes,
that would be accurate. And they have an issue coming out next month, their October issue, called Renegades, which is it's going to be devoted to risk takers and rule breakers. And one of the people that is being featured is a young woman named... And I have to ask... Ayman Ismail, who is on the line with us, who wrote about this young woman who is breaking more rules by being the first Muslim woman featured in Playboy magazine. We have Ayman Ismail on the line with us. Hey, Ayman, how are you doing?
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for writing about, now how do I say her name? Noor Tagori. And she wants to be the first Muslim woman wearing a hijabi as a news anchor. Is that correct?
Correct.
And can you tell us what inspired you to write this piece? Because I know that you wrote a little bit hesitantly, speaking for all Muslim women. But I think it is important for all of us to put our voices out there, especially when it comes to, you know, being positive rather than all the negativity that might be coming someone's way.
Yeah. So to be honest, I never knew about Noor before I saw an article with the headline, "Why is Muslims We Can't Support Noor's Decision to Feature in Playboy?" And, I have a lot of strong women in my family, and they always urge me never to speak over women and never to speak for women. So at first I told myself I would never, like, comment on this. Everybody should kind of make their own decisions about it.
Right.
But I just kept on seeing article after article just sort of discrediting her and shaming her and sort of trying to cast shade on her because she's giving a poor example of what a Muslim woman is or that kind of thing.
What are the articles?
I didn't really see any defense for it, so I felt it necessary to sort of speak out on it, especially with my access to Slate.
Well, where were these articles appearing? Were they mostly in Muslim publications or on websites?
Everywhere. I mean, the Washington Post had one. There was this website called themuslimvibe.com that had one. The Independent had another article that was sort of... They called her. They kind of questioned her closeness to God, which I thought was very, very out of line. Especially when you read the interview and the things that she said about the Muslim woman experience to an audience that largely has no experience meeting a Muslim woman. And I found it like a very necessary voice and a good exposure for somebody like this who is aspiring to become a news anchor. Felt it necessary to kind of speak up.
Well, and especially in this climate where, you know, there are so many people who want to go after Muslims in various ways. And I mean that, whether it's attack or profile and make assumptions. And when she's trying to speak the truth for her community, and, you know, here's the thing, she's trying to speak her own truth. Does she take on that she's speaking for all Muslims?
No, I don't think that she does. She does quote Maya Angelou towards the end of the Playboy article where you see me as one, but I represent 100,000.
Right.
And I think that's it's a good quote because she's not saying that I represent all Muslims, but there are many Muslims like her. And people don't realize this because since people like to always speak for their whole communities when they're come from a minority background, but we're a very diverse group. I mean, Islam is the most diverse religion as far as who is a member and where they come from. So it's very hard to find two communities that are alike as when it comes to Islam. I mean, even when you compare how it's practiced in America, Europe, to Asia, to Africa, it's very different, you know?
And what is the expectation then? The articles that you mentioned where they're attacking her and saying that she's letting Muslims down. So where are they coming from? Just that this is not a proper representation of women? This is not how women should behave in the Islam community?
Yeah, and of course, everybody's sort of entitled to their own opinion. But I don't think that there should be like a collective attack. And I felt like there was this large voice kind of speaking badly about this woman. And there wasn't much support. So that's why I felt it necessary to actually speak up. But a lot of the reactions that I saw were sort of being critical on her because of Playboy's history of selling this idea of what a woman should look like. And how it fed into the insecurities of young women and how it's largely served as a pornographic source for people who aren't familiar with, like, the articles and the news that they actually did report on. I sort of always grew up thinking of them as like a Rolling Stone type magazine where they always sort of went against the grain. Obviously, I didn't like buy it and keep it under my mattress, but I always like respected it as a publication. So I feel like a lot of people are taking this idea that Playboy is a source for the oppression of women, and they're sort of using that projection to sort of be critical of this woman's appearance in that magazine.
And I know, Elliot, you were talking earlier when we were grabbing something to eat about how when you worked at Playboy, the editors were very tough on the stories that you guys submitted.
Oh, yeah. No, they put me through the ringer. I was one of a story I pitched was simply one on the evolution of gaming in Pac-Man. And it was essentially how it affected the development of culture and the learning process of the young kids. And my editor was on me about my sources. Who did I speak with? Is this person reputable? You know, let me know who this person is you're speaking with. I'd like to investigate them as well. So, I mean, Playboy has, I'm telling you, speaking from experience, they put you through the jump. You go through a ringer just writing something because they want this to be something that they can hold up.
Yeah, and I agree. Iman Ismail was mentioning this now. By the way, he writes he wrote a piece on Slate. You can go to slate.com to find his work. You're also a video producer, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm a video person, but I like to sort of speak on the topics that are closer to me. I don't write that much, but when I do, it's typically about being a Muslim or being a video editor.
Well, in this piece, too, you mentioned that, you know, women are in the Muslim community are being told how to dress and behave by groups who are neither women nor Muslim. And can you explain a little bit? Because I think people have so many misconceptions or don't understand or never want to ask. What is the cultural significance of women covering their head?
Yeah, I mean, it's also not mandated on all women in a lot of communities, you know. Like I just got married this summer and my wife doesn't wear the hijab, for example. Her mother doesn't wear the hijab, but my sister chooses to, and so does my mother. So for a lot of women, and I hate to speak for them, but I feel like I have to right now, that, it's a personal choice. And when it becomes like a personal choice, for a lot of women, it becomes between them and God. But because of the political climate and, you know, it's an election year, It's become a lot more politicized than it has been in a very long time. So
go ahead.
When a woman wears a hijab on her head in a place like New York City, it can often feel like you're wearing a target on your back. Like there was that instance about a few weeks ago when a man set fire to a woman that was wearing a hijab. And then there was another instance where a person pushed another person into a moving train. And then when they were arrested, they let out the quote, "I wanted to kill Muslims," you know. So it could be a scary thing, but I feel like if a woman chooses to wear a headscarf, that's it's profound in a way. What you're really saying is, I'm going to wear this despite the threat. I'm going to put this on despite your criticisms of this being a tool of my own oppression, and it could be empowering, you know. I think because a lot of the times there's like all this legislation happening in parts of the world, like Saudi Arabia, for example, where it's mandated that you need to be escorted when you leave the house, or you can't be outside in public without wearing a hijab. Iran has the same rules. I'm very critical of that as a Muslim person. I don't agree with that at all. I think women deserve their own agency and their own liberty. But then if you go to a place like France and they introduced a bill, I think it already got shut down, where they wanted to enforce the anti-burkini law, where if a woman was covering up too much at the beach, that she would be forced to take it off. So here are these two sort of polarized points where women are stuck in the middle. And, you know, it's because it's a personal choice, and you're basically choosing what to wear in the morning, you have these people, often men, in these positions of power, flexing their power and their government to force women to dress in a way that they believe to be appropriate or inappropriate. And I think that's a big problem. And obviously, I'm not a Muslim person. I'm not a Muslim woman. I don't wear the hijab, so I can't speak to the experience of what it must feel like. But I'd imagine it's very tough to be in the middle.
Well, when you mentioned that there's, you know, places where they want to legislate what she should or shouldn't wear, it's so startling, and it's something that we can't even imagine here. I mean, it smacks of something that's like in a sci-fi story, you know, where it, like The Handmaid's Tale is what it reminds me of. It's just, and I don't know if anyone.
We often talk to hear about, we had this segment called It Ought to Be a Law, mm-hmm. and it just seems like sometimes the reverse of that, the beach, there are certain people who shouldn't have their clothes
right,
off of the beach.
For
right?
modesty. Right.
because it's hard it on
was
the ice.
The
Why
one
are
that,
you looking at me?
I'm not, I wasn't looking at you, Elliot. It was
we should tell you that the senator, yes, we had a segment called It Ought to Be a Law, mm-hmm. and the very first one that we passed on just on a show for laughs was that men of a certain body type should not be allowed to wear banana hammocks at the
Speedos,
beach.
Yeah. And that was the deal. But it is this overreach that people engage in. And I spoke at a fair number of mosques in my district when I was a senator. And it was a very powerful experience. And it was a very culturally enlightening experience. And and I have to say, you know, it just to not know and to not have that exposure. And I think so many people see it from just the outside in. And I remember wanting to make sure I was doing everything the right way, that I wasn't going to offend anybody, that you know, that I said the appropriate words, that I was respectful to the imam, and that and then just the same way you would in the synagogue, and how you'd interact in a church, right? And you want to be respectful of other people's religions, and that's kind of not just kind of what we do here in this country.
It's what we're supposed,
right?
It's what you
we're
hope
supposed
for.
To be doing. But it was very. I remember going there. I'm like, this is very rich and it's very powerful. And the service was very very. I don't know. It was just a. It was a very. I would say very, in many cases, very inspirational.
We have to take a break. Iman, do you mind holding on for a few moments while we go to a commercial? I want to continue the conversation. Uh-oh. Because I have something here. I have something silly that I'm going to say this real quick, because there's a pool in our neighborhood, and there is a significant community. We have all religions in my neighborhood on the far northwest side. And at this pool, there were women with head coverings, a large group together, separated from the rest of their families, but, you know, having a conversation. And I have a son with special needs who was making a lot of noises, and like all of them turned and stared at them, at me and my son. And I was like, this is really weird. Because I'm sure that they get stared at when they go in public, because they were wearing various kinds of bikinis with their, or bathing suits with their hijab. And I was like, this is so awkward. I don't know what's happening right now. You're all staring at my son, and I'll bet you get stared at. This is weird. This is weird. I wanted to go over and talk to them. Like, I don't know how to, I don't know what we should say right now to each other.
You're kind of like at a standstill.
I know.
Right?
It wasn't like, do I stare
back? It's a stare off. It was a stare off.
I have questions about what you're wearing. You have questions about my son, and we're just going to stare at each other for a moment. Nothing's going to happen. Exactly. We are talking to Iman Ismail, who has written a piece in Slate. You can go to slate.com, and we are talking about the first ever profile of a wonderful piece about Noor Taghori, who is a Muslim journalist. I'm having trouble like even explaining what this is, because it's, you know what? It shouldn't even be like something that is out of the ordinary, that we talk about a woman who is very powerful, very intelligent, really breaking the rules when it comes to what it means to just be a journalist, right? To tell the truth, to be out there and be in front of the story. So more when we come back in just a moment. I'm Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano. He is formerly written for Playboy magazine, and that's what we're talking about. Well, we're talking about Noor Taghori, who has become the first woman to wear a hijab in Playboy, and it's 63 years history. Joining me also is Senator Dan Katowski, and writer and video, well, how would you describe yourself? Video editor, producer, specialist? All those?
I call myself photographer, for people who don't always get it right away.
Okay, photographer.
Somebody at a bar or something.
It's just easier to explain, isn't it? This is
like, yeah, I'm a photographer, yeah.
Yeah, just I point and shoot. It's Iman Ismail, who has written a piece for Slate.com talking about Noor Taghori, who is a young journalist, and they're doing a piece called, a whole issue called Renegades, about women who are, men and women, who change how you think about business, music, porn, comedy, gaming, and more. And Iman wanted to make sure that people understood a little bit about, you know, well, one, sort of approach all the attacks that are coming Noor's way. And what do you hope people would take away from this piece on Noor Taghori?
That it's a big community when we talk about the Muslim community, and people don't always agree, especially in like the political climate now. People are so quick to be like, oh, well, the Muslims say this. And I'm sitting there with a billion other people and thinking, all right, well, who said that? Come on,
that's good.
Come on, someone raise their hand.
Which
who
one
was
of you?
It? Who said it?
Yeah, just, yeah, right?
That's great. Well, and this has been a really, I think, nerve-wracking political season, because there have been conversations. I mean, I believe Donald Trump has said that he wants a test for people who come to the United States about their religion.
Ideology.
Is it ideology?
Ideology, yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
Oh boy!
Yeah, that's kind of the way of saying religion, but without saying religion,
right?
It's like, but it's an ideology.
Amen's like, we've gone a different direction.
Yep.
I didn't realize he used words with that many syllables. He really said ideology.
It's ideology. It's like,
that's a shocker.
My face palm right now.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't want you to do a face palm. It's too late. Where are you right now? Are you on the East Coast or the West Coast?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh.
It's a little extra late for me.
Yeah, it's a little extra late for you. Where were you born? Are you from the East Coast originally?
Yeah, I was born in New Jersey.
Oh, my producer just did a... Craig, our producer, is also from New Jersey originally. Let me ask you a question. Have you been to Chicago?
Yeah, a couple times. I love it over there.
Oh, thank you. We'd love to have you in studio next time you're in town.
On behalf of Chicago, thank you.
We do thank you.
Chicago's awesome. Really, really good food. I love the subway. Everything's awesome over there.
Have you...
I like graffiti.
You like our graffiti?
Yeah. Chicago's got some of the best.
There's actually some more in my neighborhood. Jefferson Park is like, we call them murals now in Jefferson Park. They don't call it the graffiti.
Is there a Patty Vasquez mural there?
No, it's mostly the Cubs. It's all Cubs.
It's mostly the Cubs stuff. Nice.
Well, Iman, I want to thank you so much for joining the conversation. And we'd like to touch base with you again if you have time.
Yeah, thank you so much for being interested. I love it when people ask questions to Muslims instead of just jumping to conclusions.
Oh, gosh, no. I assume I know nothing. I have to ask. I'm serious.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot more than you think.
Oh, well, then I want to mean more and bring you on the show again. And seriously, next time you're in Chicago, please come in studio. We'll have a Lou Malnati's pizza for you when you do.
Oh, winning the deal. I love it.
How would you like people to find your work?
I have Amon.com, which is just a collection of some of my favorite stuff. But you can just go to Slate, and there'll typically be something on there.
There is. Just when you go to Slate.com, it's Amon. It's A-Y-M-A-N-N, Ismail,
yep.
I-S-M-I-L. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Go to bed, will you? It's too late.
Good night, guys.
Have a great evening. More after this on 720 WGN.